I've been in my workshop finishing up creating this flower to go in this flower arrangement. Took me a little while, but I finally got all the little pieces together, and so, you know, I made the flower. I created this. In fact, I created all these flowers, and I just want you to know and be grateful that it was I who created these flowers. I hope you don't believe that. But who did create them? Did they simply pop up out of nowhere? Are they an act of coincidence, of simple science and nature? Or is there some power, some amazing, intricate, beyond our understanding power that made everything, including that flower? That is what I believe. And as we explore the universe more and more, the universe becoming known to us, this flower is just the tip of the iceberg of all that has been made. And from our perspective, I trust and hope yours today, all from the hand of God. Watch this video and be once again amazed. So, an accident? A coincidence? No. And the scripture writers sought in the best way they could, using the one thing we all have, words, to try to explain how it is that God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. Throughout the scriptures, others try to reflect that amazing creation. And as they did, they said, "You are the Lord of the universe. You counted the stars. You know them by name," said another psalmist. "O Lord, how great, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider the stars and the heavens, who are you that you are mindful of us?" And then John, at the beginning of that great prologue in the gospel, says, "Through him all things were made, and nothing was made that has been made. O God, creator of all," the Bible affirms, and we believe. 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars, we can't comprehend it, and they don't even know how much more is out there. How is it that we live on this planet, this little corner of this huge universe created by Almighty God, and we fail so often to comprehend what this means? Today, we talk about God, who is bigger than our biggest possible imagination. And next week, on the second side, we look at the God who is smaller than small, closer than close. A God who is all things. This is our God. We see all of these things because God has enabled us to see them with your eyes. You use them to see me, to apprehend and comprehend everything. Think about it. Without eyes, you would see none of this amazing creation. But you do have eyes. And in those eyes are 110 million cones, 7 million rods, and 1 million nerve fibers, all connecting your visual cortex to your retina so that instantly you can look, see, and comprehend all by the creative power of God, so that we can see all of God's creation. On Friday morning, which was my day off, I sat by the stream in our backyard and I simply stared for 10 minutes or so at a spider web. A spider web whose silk threads, according to scientists, weight for weight, are 5 times stronger than piano wire. And which, in this tiniest of little creatures, provides this beautiful web suitable for artists to frame. Who are we that you are mindful of us in creating all of these things, O God? And how, God, can we respond? How must we respond to this? Oh God, forgive us for taking it all for granted. Forgive us for not even seeing it, for being so concerned with such minor things and being overwhelmed by unimportant things. How then should we respond to this God who is bigger than big, greater than great, beyond our ability to find words to explain and describe? Certainly, first and foremost, our response to this God must be reverence. Reverence. Not a word we use much or are comfortable with, certainly one we don't demonstrate much. What is reverence? One definition says to hold in high esteem. That's not good enough. Not for God. Another definition says to highly regard. That's not good enough. We don't just highly regard God. Another definition says to admire greatly. No. But then the formal foundation of that word in the Latin is to stand in awe. To have reverence for God is to stand in awe of God. Have you done that much lately? Have you sat, stood, or contemplated in reverence, in awe, the God who has created all of these things, and you, the crown of creation? We are too busy with our devices, looking down into our screens, worrying about our checkbooks, and overwrought with our petty worries. But if we would stop daily to be reverent before God, to stand in awe of God, that you woke up this morning, that you have senses to apprehend the world, that you have a heart to love others, that you have a purpose, that you have a mind, that you can see, have you been reverent before God in contemplating these incredible, awesome gifts that you personally have been given by this bigger-than-me God? Oh God, forgive us for trivializing you, for taking your name in vain, for treating you as if you were no more important than anything else, and sometimes far less important according to our priorities. Andy Dillard wrote it this way. In a serious challenge to Christians and the church, here's what she wrote. Why do people in churches seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a packaged tour of the absolute? Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? The general mood of the spiritually minded to me seems to ignore the power and the majesty of God. We have lost the sense of awe. Yes, we have. We've lost the sense of awe. But reclaim it, friends. Use these eyes that God has given to see these amazing miracles. The great and the small, from the spider web to the furthest galaxy, reverently come before God and bow down in thanksgiving. Another response is humility. Once we reverently come before God, stand in awe before God, we indeed must be humble. Scripture says, come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. We don't kneel much anymore, do we? Not physically, not spiritually. I like churches, the old cathedrals in some churches today, and in our Christian tradition, our Catholic brothers and sisters in the pews have kneelers. And I was in such a church not long ago. And I thought of the symbolism of those, that every worshiper sees right before them the invitation to kneel before God as a part of the liturgy. And what is this except a place when we can come and kneel before God? You see, kneeling is an act, perhaps the ultimate act of humility before God. Bow down. We bow our heads in humility. We kneel before God. When you see the awesome, incredible power and goodness of God, is not humility in just incredibly central? We humble ourselves before God. Humility's gotten a bad rap in many places. People think of it as groveling or weakness or defensiveness. No, humility is acknowledging the truth of where you stand in the order of things. And so in old movies, you have seen when there's kings and queens, people walk into the presence of the king, they bow down, they acknowledge their role, their relationship. And so it is with God, the ultimate king of the universe, that though we may not kneel every moment in our worship services, in our minds, in our hearts, there is a kneeling in humility. Let it be so for you. Humble yourselves. A little child once was at the ocean and playing down in the sand with a bucket. You've seen it. You've done it. And this little girl fills her little yellow bucket with water and runs back to mommy sitting on the sand and yells, "Mommy, mommy, I'm at the ocean." We think we have God because we have this little comprehension of God. When the ocean is so much bigger than that bucket, when God is so much bigger than all that we can comprehend. Friends, we are like a little child peering through a keyhole in a door. We look in, we can see a little bit, but it's a vast room beyond that we can barely comprehend what is there. And in humility, we acknowledge, oh God, you are greater than all. And in humility, we worship and serve God. When I consider the work of your hands, oh God, I bow down, I kneel down. So we are reverent before God, this great and awesome God. We are humble before God, but then we're also confident. Our response to this great and awesome God is confidence, because this awesome God, creator of all, almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, all everything, the one who created the universe and all that you saw and far beyond, and you chose to come down to show us the way and the truth and the life. What? Wait a minute. Do you get the incredible amazement of that? We take it so for granted. That God, that awesome, out there, everything, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything God came to this earth in a human form? Do you get the amazing detail, the amazing awesomeness, the incredible, unbelievable aspect of that? Do not take that for granted. That is our God who came and walked on this earth in the one named Jesus. And when you consider that, we then confidently, as the writer of Hebrews says, can live our lives. We can enter confidently and go to the throne of grace. We can go to God in confidence. Because we have been shown that as hard as this life can be, even death is defeated by this awesome God. And the empty tomb announced it long ago. Oh yeah, we can live confidently because we know this God, this bigger God, greater God, came down and personally walked among us. Wow. Get that? And this bigger than big God, therefore, is bigger than the things that worry you, the things that scare you, the things that terrify you. This bigger than big God is greater than your grief, is greater than your loneliness, is bigger than your cancer, is greater than your sorrow and any problem and any storm that may come. That is the truth. It's been demonstrated, and the scriptures have sought to explain it and describe it, and we now get the privilege of living it if you believe that this awesome, amazing God is right here. In March of 1989, a burst of gamma radiation was detected by a scientific instrument. Scientists were checking out the cosmos, the universe, for signs and for events and happenings, and this scientific instrument detected a burst of gamma radiation that scientists said lasted but 1/10 of a second. But in that brief instant, it emitted as much energy as the sun does over 3,000 years. And they said if the sun had belched out the same amount of energy as that 1/10 of a second moment of gamma radiation burst, the earth would have been instantly vaporized. Perhaps simply God's reminder of God's power. And before this God, let us live reverently, humbly, but confidently. For this God is our God. Will you pray with me? In the beginning, God, you created. Remind us, teach us, stir within us today, Lord, the truth again of your grandeur, your power, your goodness, and your closeness. And help us to live like we truly believe these things. Amen.